How's it going, everyone? This is Pat Loika, and you're listening to Loika Mania, episode 13. Today, we are going to talk about a very special subject that's near and dear to my heart and a few other people. And for that particular subject, I have assembled a panel. First, we have my good friend, partner in crime, Chris Mays.
Konnichiwa, bitches.
Oh, I haven't heard that in a while. Good work.
Watched the Chappelle Show last night. So.
Oh, all right.
And how you doing, peeps?
And then we have Jericho Silver Pena.
Howdy, howdy.
Jericho is one of our experts in this panel.
Expert in now.
As far as TV and movie stuff is concerned. And, of course, we have our final panelist, Mr. Judge Dilge.
Hey.
Today, we are going to talk about Comic-Con. And that's actually coming up this week. It's going to be taking place at the San Diego Convention Center starting on the 22nd, I believe, which is Thursday, till the 25th, which is a Sunday. Preview night is on the 21st. And I basically brought everyone here because everyone here has been to the con a few times. Let's hear, Chris, how many times have you been to the con? How many years?
Well, let's see, consistently, when was the year we started?
It's 97.
It was like 97. Yeah. But I went a couple of years before that with my cousins. So, but someone's been it's been 10 plus years already. So
yeah. Jericho, how many years?
Let's see. I think the first time that I went was in 04, 05.
Really?
04, yeah, and then I took a break. I took a break for about a year, and then I've been there consistently ever since. Yeah.
Judge?
About 4 years.
Wow, 4 years. So basically since we've been associated then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We brought you into
look
this
look what you've
thing.
Done.
We brought you into this thing. And now
brought you into the fold.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on during the con. A lot of programming, a lot of exclusives, a lot of guests. We're basically going to talk about what we're looking forward to this year, what we love about the past few years, and some kind of talk about some of our favorite little moments during the con. And we'll start it off, of course, by kind of talking about the con itself. The con's been going on for over 40 years now. This is year 41. It's been at the San Diego Convention Center for at least about almost 15 years now.
Yeah, just and, about.
Yeah, and it expanded with, you know, the con expanded with the convention center, or the con made the convention center expand to begin with. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's going to happen again this year. The con brings in an estimated $163 million to the economy of the city.
Yeah, it brings in more money than the Super Bowl when the Super Bowl was here.
Yeah. It's big money for San Diego, and it's kind of in a bidding war to keep the con here because of other cities showing interest in the contract with the con allegedly being up in 2012.
Right.
So.
That's because of the extension that they signed.
Yeah, now they're going to they're looking into expanding the convention, the center itself, just to accommodate this particular con and maybe others. So anyway, with that in mind, of course, we want to keep the con here, and we're going to talk about why we want it here. So guys, tell me about your first Comic-Con experience.
Let's start with the newbies, Judge.
It was good, but I was broke.
Well, yeah, that's never a good idea. I think my first con I went to here, my budget was $60.
Yeah, I don't even think mine was that.
Yeah, $60 could buy you a lot of shit back then.
Well, the con was a lot smaller.
It was a lot smaller, yeah.
They told me to relax and that it'd be overload to go all 4 days, but I did it anyways, and all I did was get depressed because I couldn't buy anything.
Yeah, let's see. The first time I went, it's kind of all a blur to me. It was, you know, 4 days of craziness. So, you know, I really don't remember anything specific, except for the thing that is basically a staple that I found, mm-hmm. is the deodorant-less person.
Ah, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Exponentially worse before, you know, purple persons, yes. But it was, you know, much worse before because we didn't have the limited ticket sales, which I know it's a hassle to people that don't buy right away.
That just predicted
you. Yeah, but I mean, like, before they had that stuff, that place was like a freaking cattle farm. It was ridiculous. Yeah. And having to be pressed against that many people that didn't have no sense of personal hygiene, if you're one of them, I'm sorry. Please, this year invest in a stick of Sure or something. I don't know.
It's like one of those stereotypical nerds. They do exist.
Yeah.
I mean, they joke about it a lot in, you know, various forms of media, TV, and movies. They make fun of the nerds. It is true. This stereotype.
That's one of the stereotypes that I am very sad to report is absolutely true. The last year, actually, when I went, was the record for how the least amount of time that it took me to find one of those people. Mm-hmm. I seriously just got out of the car. Mm-hmm. The moment I walked onto the curb, done.
Yeah, see, all that BS.
See, the thing is, like, when you're inside the con, like we are, you know, when we wait for the convention people to show up, you can tell the crowd is getting thicker when you start feeling that wave of, you know, that scent.
The geek musk,
yes. You start to feel that when people start, you know, rushing into the convention center, which is, I don't know, it's just ridiculous sometimes. And you'd think people would be more considerate of what they're in and what's going on.
And you're totally aware of all your senses, too, at that point. I mean, you could maybe almost see it, too.
You can see it take form.
It's a survival thing at that point.
Exactly.
You need to be prepared.
Yeah. And with the con, though, I mean, we've been talking about, like, you know, the first time we've gone, and, like, you know, like, the first time we went, of course, we weren't prepared because we didn't know what the hell we were getting into. I mean, when you mentioned you were going, like, back in 2004, I mean, the con was kind of a different animal than what it was, than what back then, than
into.
What it is now. I mean, now it's just insane how you can barely move through the halls.
Right.
I mean, I don't consider that a completely unpleasant experience because it just tells you how many people are interested in going to this thing. But it's just you're just shocked by how many people really want to get into this.
Yeah, I blame Bryan Singer and his X-Men film.
Would that be where it started?
The year that came out was actually like the first time it really started to get really big. You know, like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's when they started expanding the amount of space that they were taking up in the convention halls.
So that would be the first, like, really big, you know, like, really insanely popular comic book movie, right?
Yeah. They brought Ian McKellen there, and Bryan Singer was there, and we took some photos with him, didn't we?
I think so.
Yeah,
Bryan Singer.
I think Tim did, yeah.
Name dropping.
You guys said a long time ago that it was super different way back when you were, like, 16 and 15 and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, back in, like, the late 90s.
It was like, maybe 20-30% comic books and stuff, and most of it was like adult booths and that, because you guys just tell me stories.
Yeah, yeah.
There aren't that many adult booths anymore. Like,
But back in just 10 years ago, like, there were more comics.
Just,
yes. There was, like, you know, the regular Hollywood comics.
I think there are just as many comics back then as there are now, because the thing is, the convention center just expanded and it allowed for this other stuff to.
Well, that's. But I think what he's saying is that, you know,
that's what I was going
to
get to.
The rest of it is just starting to take over. It's more, you know, in the spotlight than the comic.
Yeah, well, because of the expansion, there's, you know, more Hollywood involved.
You guys used to tell me about Nathan and all the... And you always knew where it was. He was at. He was either ripping comics out from that book, from that kabuki stand, or he was in a porn booth spending all.
Yeah, just for your information, Nathan is a good friend of ours. So.
Yeah, Nathan Hicks is a guy who is a good friend of ours.
Good job giving him the last name. Now you know that somebody who's listening from that booth is going to be like,
There's a funny story here. I'll tell the story.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nate, a few years back, he was very. Let's just say he had sticky hands. He had sticky fingers.
In both senses.
And he ended up taking home a kabuki tray that he did not pay for. Years later, of course, you know, and of course since then, I've been bugging him. You need to pay for that trade because you know, that's a creator-owned book. Like, you know, the guy who created that, David Mack, he lives off of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I got to the point where... I got to somehow know David Mack for the internet, and I've seen him at other cons, and I told him, hey, I want to tell you something my friend did. And I told him...
What a great friend.
Narc! Of all the things, I draw and I write. I want to put out my own comics for a living.
Yeah.
I can feel where that guy's coming from. I ain't got to stand for people ripping me off. Even if it's my friend. So I told him. It's all good. And when the year came, 2005, when David Mack finally met Nathan...
But at the same time, Nate was different too. He definitely changed by then.
Yeah, he had changed by then. But anyway, they met. He paid for the trade. Look, you know what David Mack made? He gave him kabuki prints.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
Yeah, what a nice guy. Shook his hand. He shook his hand.
Like, it's all good.
All good.
It's a beautiful comic, by the way. Also, the artwork in it is absolutely stunning.
Yes, that is also true. But since we're kind of going off on some of our favorite convention moments, why don't you guys share yours?
There's one in particular. I don't remember what year exactly it was. The whole Scott Lobdell thing. I always thought that was
1999.
Yeah. Yeah. What it was? We're this is before the big expansion, and we're sitting towards, I guess, Hall A. And back then it was just a bunch of tables, you know, to eat and all that. And we had a bunch of Uncanny X-Men, Scott Lobdell, Joe Manerera comics out. And lo and behold, here comes Scott Lobdell just out of nowhere. He doesn't even talk to us. He just
grabs our books.
Yeah, and just, like, signs them right then and there, which we're just like,
and then,
holy shit,
we didn't realize until we saw the badge. We're like, oh, God, it's him.
That's him.
Before that, though, we've spent like about 3 hours in line for the big Cliffhanger Studio signing. Remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We were lined up to sign to get Roberto Ramos, Joe Madureira, J. Scott Campbell, and all their other like colorists and inkers, and everyone involved in the Cliffhanger books did a group signing, and we lined up for that for like 3 hours.
I remember.
And we were in line next to a guy named Danimal.
Oh yeah, Danimal.
Danimal.
It did say Danimal.
And he disappeared. Remember, he left to take a dump, and he never came back.
Yeah.
Man.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Danimal, wherever you are, Danimal, I hope you got your autographs anyway. How about you, Judge? Do you have any favorite convention moments?
My favorite convention moment isn't from Comic-Con. It's from E3.
Well, we're talking about Comic-Con.
We're not talking about E3, are we?
Well, it has to do with comics, because I was running around with Chris, and he goes, there was this long line of this that was when
Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, and he was, the game Ultimate Spider-Man was coming out, and he was signing this huge stack of these giant prints. On Venom it was one side, and on Spider-Man it was the other. And the line, the lady said that the line was like 3 hours long, and Chris says, "Hey, I know this guy. This guy's, I've talked to him a bunch of times. He signed a bunch of my stuff. We're really cool." I said, "Yeah,
that's cool.
he made it sound like that, and he said, he asked me, he says, "You want to meet him?" And I said, no, I'm good." And so he dragged me up to the front of the front where
we were near the front. He saw my
I had an Ultimate Spider-Man
comic with me, the read on the rim.
On accident. He called us up. And the lady said that the wait was 2 hours for the line, and him and Chris just started talking, and then he looked at me and says, "Hey, you want me to sign a print for you?" And I kind of said, "Well, me?" He says, "Yeah." He says, what side do you want me to sign?" He signed it was bigger than a 9x13. It was a huge print, and it was on cardboard, and the guy signed it to my daughter, and she's got it hanging up on her wall, and I talk to him every now and then. Every time I see him at Comic-Con, he's really cool.
He's going
to
be there this
year. He's the Chick-fil-A guy, right?
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah, well, one of my favorite moments actually was when Brian actually had a cameo appearance in 2007.
That's a good one.
He was there for just one day, and because it was the first time he got to meet Neil Francis Yu, who he did New Avengers with, and it was before Secret Invasion came out. And we already knew back then that he's a big Chick-fil-A guy. So we had Chris's now wife, Maureen, do a run to Chick-fil-A for us, and picked up a combo to bring over to Brian, and he was very thankful of that. And that picture actually appears in the blog, and I'll tell you more about that later on.
Yeah, that was cool. He was really grateful for that.
He's always been one of the nicest guys in comics. So I mean, if he recognizes you, if he knows you, if he sees you enough, he's willing to let you cut in line. Which is,
yeah,
you feel kind of bad, but like, man, that's pretty cool. He recognizes, and he's letting us cheat the system a little bit.
Well, we didn't go for a sign. We were just dropping off food, anyways.
Yeah, other times I've seen him though. I mean, when he sees me, he'll just like, "Oh, you may bring it over here." Well, there's a line already forming. Sometimes I feel bad about it, but I'm like, hey, he asked. He's the boss. And how about you, Jericho? Do you have any...
honestly, sadly, I mean, listening to you guys, I've had very mundane experiences compared to what you guys have been able to run into. I mean, like, the closest thing that I had to a celebrity run in there was Exhibit's entourage as he was exiting the convention floor. they just, you know, pushed me aside. I was like, hey, it's him, and then they were gone. But, yeah, I mean, I really had nothing, you know, to that level.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be celebrity-wise. Just,
well, no, but I mean, it's, you know, something that memorable. I mean, the most memorable thing I can really talk about is being part of the Chuck panel last year where they came out singing to Fat Bottom Girls. You know, but it's nothing to that kind of a personal thing. You know, which is kind of sad. I'm going to go out of my way this year. I'm going to hunt down Tommy Wiseau. We'll see what happens.
It's my only trail.
Speaking of hunting down people, like, when you guys have seen the guest list as far as the comics go, and you've heard of some of the media guests they have coming up.
Yes.
Is there are there any particular holy grails as far as autographs go, or at least a photo op?
Tommy
Wiseau. I think it's pretty unanimous right now. It's Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah,
no, I would love to bump into Yvonne Strahovski or Sarah Lancaster myself.
Well, yeah, I got within 10 feet. Not to be stalkerish, I've heard that Natalie Portman's actually going to be there this year for the Thor panel.
Yeah, she'll be there for Thor.
For Jericho, Jericho's a huge Natalie Portman.
So, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind bumping into her.
Yeah, she should have quit after The Professional.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to go that far.
No need to bring it down, Judge.
Or Lyon, if you're French.
which was the better cut of the film, I might say, obviously.
I've only seen The Professional. I haven't seen Lyon.
It's so much better.
I don't know.
I'll edit it. Anyway,
I don't know which one's longer.
How about you, Judge? Anyway. Was there any person you want to meet?
I'd like to meet Rob Zombie again without him knocking me over.
Knocking you over?
Yeah. The year the Devil's Rejects came out, he was like an hour and a half late for his booth signing, autograph signing deal. Yeah. And he literally knocked me over. He was walking with his wife. He was absolutely stunning that day. And I had no idea how short he was. I couldn't believe I'd been knocked over by somebody that short. The guy had like 4.5-5-inch platform boots on and just
get the fuck out of my way.
He shoulder blocked the shit out of me. And it wasn't on purpose, because he turned around and says, "Hey man, you all right? You okay? I gotta go." And
hey man, you all
right? Yeah, it was right by his nose.
He's never gonna stop.
46 a clown on you. You make sure you're all right.
Man.
Going back a little bit, now that I think about it, one of my, I guess, my favorite moments would definitely have to be last year's Disney panel, if only because Miyazaki was there. Completely unexpected, because he wasn't expected to show up at all, you know. But when he was working on releasing Ponyo for the United States, that guy is an idol. He was, you know, the moment he walked into that room, everybody in Hall was on their feet clapping for the next 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, the man is like probably one of the giants in, you know, animation, you know. I don't think he ever goes to any conventions where he could really see how much he's appreciated by people. It was probably a big thrill for him too.
He was so, you know, humble when he was out there, and you know, all of the answers that he gave, well, because they were through a translator, I guess some of them got mistranslated, or the humor wasn't, you know, what he was expecting. But he's freaking classy, that's all he can say.
Excellent. And now that we kind of mentioned all age, this year we've kind of gotten a glimpse of the programming. Was there anything in particular for this year that you are looking forward to, as far as at least what we have seen so far?
Scott Pilgrim, man.
Scotty Pilgrim, if you want to say
Scotty Pilgrim. Yeah, I'm a huge Scott Pilgrim fan.
I think most of us here are pretty big fans.
Except for the book. The Darkness over here.
Well, Judge hasn't read it yet, so he can't really
say the first one.
Oh, you read the first one?
I bought the first one, and it got signed by the
Brian Lee O'Malley.
And then it went right around the corner and had a Blackmail signed by the artist and the writer.
Scott Pilgrim panel is going to have pretty much the entire cast of the movie there, and Edgar Wright, of course, the director.
Which is going to be awesome. There's a lot of stuff going on in Hall H, though, apparently. Or there's a lot of conflicting
things. They have the Expendables going on.
Yeah, the ultimate dick flick.
And it looks like they got most of the cast, too.
Yeah.
I think Couture's going to be there. Austin.
That's awesome. Stallone.
Mickey's going to be there.
I don't think Mickey Rourke's going to be there. I don't know his name there. Terry Crews.
I'd go see the panel if Mickey Rourke was there. I think it's hilarious that if you watch Iron Man 2, the hairdo and the get-up that he's got on it.
Well, you see, what happens in the Expendables is actually a lead into Iron Man 2. You know, he after what happened to him in the Expendables, he moves back to Russia, and then
And then they hire him.
Apparently, Kirkman is going to be here too.
Always here.
Well, I mean, his thing is going to be for the Walking Dead and Invincible.
Yeah, Walking Dead. That's a panel I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be a good
the AMC show.
He's going to double dip on
Saturday,
huh?
If he's going to do his own panel, then he's going to show up to the Walking Dead panel.
He's going
to
be at the Walking Dead panel. I would go to that one.
And you know they'll probably show like a clip.
Yeah, maybe it's
the pilot. The pilot would be freaking insane.
I know a lot of panels do that.
If you've seen the sneak shots and stuff that they've been putting out, it looks gorgeous. The zombie effects is it Nicotero that's doing it?
I think so.
It's ridiculous.
I really hope that show does good because the graphic novels for those are so cool. And they're black and white on top of that.
The show, I don't think it's going to be black and white, but it looks good.
It'd be kind of a nice nod, but...
Mm-hmm. No. I'm surprised, as good as they are, that they're black and white.
There's nothing wrong with black and white graphic novels or comics. That's just their choice to do it that way. Now, what else? There's a couple of panels I'm looking forward to also. Like, more of the comic side of things. I really want to go to the Breaking Into Comics, the Marvel Way panel. Someone who's working into getting further and further into the industry, I think that would be something worthwhile. And then, of course, there's Mondo Marvel, because I'm such a Marvel geek. I would like to see what they have coming up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tron panel is also on Thursday. I want to go there. I want to finally catch a glimpse of Miss Olivia Wilde. Actually, Jeff Bridges too. Actually, hey man, it's the dude.
Hey,
nice room together.
Oh man, that would be amazing. There's a ton of stuff this year.
Another couple of things on Thursday. Both of these things are happening. There's that Battlestar panel, Bear McCreary is going to be coming to the guy who did the YouTube for that, should be insane. And along those notes, the reason why I want to bring that up is because that Michael Giacchino is going to be at Comic Con on Thursday also. They're doing a music panel, so he's going to be going over like Lost Bear? Music. It's a different thing.
I wish
that'd be ridiculous.
Didn't that show get canceled last year? I mean, are they just milking it?
No, it didn't.
They ended it.
It's okay.
Deep Space Nine of Battlestar
Galactica.
We will have to get into that another time. But seriously,
two of my musical idols, they have done the best work, I think, of this, of the recent people that have started to come up, they have done the best work that I can think of.
I mean, the fact that you got panels for that stuff really shows you how diverse the programming in this con thing is. And if you look at it, that's like all the media stuff and the video games, movies, and TV stuff is only comprising about 30% of the actual programming they have going on. There's so much comic stuff there. People tend to neglect that when they look at the con.
Yeah, a lot of people who comment on that never been there. Or they have been there a couple times, and that's really all they see since it's so huge.
And it kind of saddens me because they're missing out on the one what makes this thing so great to begin with.
The $5 comics.
Now that you've mentioned it,
that could go under one of my favorite memories, I would assume.
$5 trades.
Yeah, last year they went nuts in hardcovers and
Chris Jack
and trades.
A preacher from me.
I had a few.
Yeah, I was with you when you got it.
No, but
you're flipping through the thing, and I went, snatched it right out of the box.
I remember.
You'll find another one. It wasn't for $10. It was for $25.
Part of the fun of the condo is really the bin diving. For all those trades, all those comics that you're looking for, and we kind of become experts at it because of the way we know where certain booths are going to be located every year.
Yeah.
And we actually, it's kind of ridiculous if you think about it. We actually lay out our plans, and we know.
We really take advantage of being exhibitors.
They treat you better if you're an exhibitor. They treat you a lot better.
You pay to get into there early. You pay an expensive amount of money.
We do.
This booth was expensive.
Yeah, this our booth is bigger this year than...
Bigger than it ever was, yes. Yeah. It's going to be a pretty interesting setup, to say the least.
But
I mean, we go in there early, we start checking out some of the retailers, and we check out what bargains they have, and we start kind of... we start kind of marking our territory. And there are certain booths which are
we draw straws for that. I believe it's Pat's turn.
We would I remember a couple years back, I think when Chris, you stationed at the 700 aisle, I stationed at 1000 aisle, and then we would just text each other, hey, here. And then we would just text each other, hey, do you need this? Hey, are you looking for this book?
And it's like that.
it's even better now because everybody has iPhones, so they can scroll through the last 10 or 12 things that they've said, so they go back and say, oh, yeah, I need that one.
So as far as books go, what are you guys looking for as far as like trades, or do you have like a wish list or anything?
Well, since you told me that before, I'm definitely looking to pick up the Comic-Con edition of Walking Dead.
Walking Dead 75?
Yeah.
Luck.
I know. That's one of the things I'm definitely going to be scouring for if I can find it, because I love that series. Do you not think if Kirkman's going to be doing anything for Invincible, since I've gotten into that?
Really? No special exclusives for that, but you can catch him at the Image booth, and so is Ryan Ottley. He's going to be at the Image booth.
I'm going to have to pick up
hard for Ryan Ottley, dude. Ryan Ottley, if you ever listen, I'm so gay for you.
Is he on your celebrity list? Is that one of the ones that you can?
Ottley has a table in the Image booth, and he is doing sketches. I think he has a new sketchbook also coming out.
Nice.
And his art dealer, Splash Page Art, is going to be there. So you might want to try and catch him there.
Yeah, if I don't blow my load on like $5 trades.
The thing is, that's what's killing me right now. I have a budget set up that I've been saving for a while, and I want to get art. I want to get books too, and the thing that scares me is like all these artists are like getting to that point where you're getting priced out.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite artists who never go to San Diego, really, like a couple of people that we have talked about, because I'm not going to name names because I don't want to be a jerk and feel entitled or whatever, but
a couple of my
favorite artists are going to be there, and they're charging like $500 for a commission sketch. I'm like,
good lord,
that's like half my budget.
That's pretty much like all.
and the thing is, there are other artists who I also like who are charging a bit less.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the $500 commission sketch, there was maybe a couple people last year. This year there's like more and more of them. I'm getting scared that it's getting to the point where it becomes the norm, and poor fans don't have money.
Yeah.
Not much money.
Go for the up and comers, man.
Well, yeah, but the thing is,
you want to support that,
but the thing is, you gotta have at least one thing from that guy, and it's getting to the point where you're getting priced out, which is kind of sad.
It's one thing to do it to keep the amount of people down for the sketches that you're doing, because you can only do so many sketches.
Well, that's also true, but these guys are doing pre-orders.
Yeah,
though.
Pre-orders,
it's a pre-order.
Yeah.
They're doing it at home before they go to the con.
Oh, man.
So, and
it's another thing entirely to charge a few hundred bucks for a sketch.
I'm hoping,
that's on a notebook pad.
I'm hoping against all hope that I have, as far as the internet goes, I've kind of garnered a bit of a reputation, which I'm not going to gloat about. I'm hoping I can use that to my advantage. And I'm going to be honest here.
At the same time, it's their prerogative, but
it just sucks.
Speaking as a fan, it's hard to deal with.
I mean, I don't want to sound like a spoiled, entitled fan, but, you know, it's not often that certain artists come here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just want to have something.
And what about the new comic reader who's actually, you know, taken out with this artist, or like, you know, really,
yeah, would like to own something.
Like to own something for bandits. But like, you know, it like I said, it goes.
I mean, if you take that into consideration, like some of the original pages from the books some of these guys worked on are cheaper. And for one, it's kind of cool to own like a one-of-a-kind, you know, art that was originally used for the book. But at the same time, you're like, well, I kind of want something that he drew for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of hard to decide sometimes.
It's rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, in at any event, I did get into a couple artists' lists, and I'm pretty pleased with who I've been.
If you have the money and you can do it, and you appreciate the artist's work that way, go for it. Go for it, because it's totally worth it.
Yeah, and
if you can afford it.
And with regards to sketches, there are also some artists who do sketches for free at the publisher booths. They do really quick sketches, like a profile sketch or a headshot for you, and for absolutely nothing, because they're basically under publisher's time. So line up early for those.
They're really cool about it.
Yeah. So we'll kind of get back to the books. What's everyone trying to look for, at least?
Well, I told you mine.
Yeah, Walking Dead.
I know for mine, I'm looking for a lot of the stuff you recommended, which I was looking for anyway, like the pre... what's going on, that storyline, the X-Men stuff.
Like everything that went on before Utopia.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after Utopia, which
is
Nation X. Yeah, they have all the Matt Fraction X-Men, basically.
Yeah, I want to, excuse me, I want to get to my, or find a lot of the new Avengers hardcovers that I'm missing out of, see if I can complete my Daredevil collection. It's a lot of Marvel stuff. It just whatever I can find that I don't have and I wanted, I'm gonna get.
I think I have a few loose ends as far as some books go. I know there's some books that came out recently that I forgot to pre-order, like the Blackest Night hardcovers. I'm hoping to pick those up, yeah. And at a good discount. There's also I'm pretty up to date with all my Vertigo stuff. There are a few like miniseries that have come out. Like I'm still trying to find that Hellcat miniseries by Catherine Immelman and David LaFuente. Need to get that trade paperback. I couldn't find that anywhere because it was apparently a comic store exclusive that wasn't available for Amazon, which is kind of lame. Yeah, there isn't that much for me as far as books. But, you know, I want to look for stuff that I haven't seen before. I'm trying to find a few missing volumes of Stray Bullets, actually, now that I realize it, and a couple of missing volumes of Sin City.
That's one thing that sucks. Like, when you're over there, you get excited about other things that you haven't thought of, that you almost forget about the things you're really after.
Yeah, I know. I mean, see, me right now, I've gotten to the point where I've earmarked what's going to what because I've already pre-ordered a couple of things from a couple of artists. At least I don't have to worry about waiting for stuff anymore.
Judge?
Oh,
anything?
A few of the hardcovers that are the lead up to The Blackest Night from Green Lantern. Yeah, I was supposed to read them last year, but I ended up running out of cash. That and The Walking Dead exclusive, like what Jericho said. And Preacher number one.
The hardcover?
Hardcover, yeah.
Book one.
There's volume two out, too.
Yeah,
they had both of them at Borders, but I wasn't going to pay $40 a piece for them.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to score all that and more.
For $5.
And, I mean, aside from, of course, buying stuff, I mean, and meeting people, I mean, what else are you looking for? Are you looking forward to anything after hours or anything?
Tony's birthday at the Star Bar, man.
Oh, we'll probably do that.
That's always a good time.
Yeah, it's always a good time.
Comic-Con favorite moments, that's probably my favorite time. It's not even in Comic-Con.
It's just hanging
around with people afterwards.
Yeah, that is actually part of the...
Tony's birthday is always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, the bar hopping and stuff is always fun after hours, and just like you just never know who you'll bump into or who you realize you're hanging out with.
Yeah.
And that's
that actually.
Maybe
that reminds me of a good con story that I always remember when we were at the Hilton a couple years back, and we were trying to get some drinks at the bar.
I was going to say that.
Across the Hyatt. Across the way. What's his name?
Thomas Jane,
the Punisher. he was totally smashed, like totally smashed.
What a dick!
And he's calling the bartender. Hey, come here! And she was serving us, and then she finally, you know, gave us our drinks, and he got really bent out of shape and pissed off. I'm like, come on! Don't you know who I am?
I just want my cigar.
I'm the fucking Punisher.
He had a cigar and a $50 bill, and he's sitting there waving it in her face. And she came over and served us before she served him. I think he got pissed off and then ended up leaving.
Hey, you know what though? Say what you want about Thomas Jane. I like the fact that the guy's really into the comics that he's putting out.
I see him
setting up his booth and him with his bare hands putting together his booth. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that guy. That guy's great. And you know what? He can be a dick as much as he wants in the book. That cracks me up.
No, that, it just reminded me of that story. I thought that was just a fun story.
The fact that he's an asshole is exactly why there's a stars falling and not rising.
No.
He's at home right now.
Watch Hung?
Yeah, Hung is
that show's
great.
Awesome.
I'm sorry, I don't want to watch a show about a guy who's got a big dong and is a male prostitute. You know, call me crazy.
But it's good.
It's a good show.
Yeah, it's funny.
You guys were arguing earlier tonight about who was the gayest person here. Well, all three of you.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, who's the person we ran into at the Tilted Kilt last year? We were about
Ron
to
Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy.
No, we just got there. And he
oh, yeah, he was coming in.
And he had, like, a robe on. And
so who's what? Holy shit, it's Ron Jeremy.
We were waiting for somebody. We're sitting out on the porch. And,
we were there for, like, a... A gathering.
It was like a crew gathering.
Yeah, it was the
Jinx Roll gathering. So,
yeah, he rolled up in a pedicab all by himself wearing a robe. That was hilarious. You'd think he'd show up in a goddamn limo. But
speaking of people being hung and stuff, see, just think, watch that show and think of it as Ron Jeremy. I don't know.
You should see the look on Judge's face right now.
Utter shock.
But yeah, I mean,
that's... Yeah, but I mean, it's not like he's the one walking around naked. It's all beautiful women walking around naked in that show. I mean, it's not like he's the one walking around with his thing hanging out, swinging every which way.
Well, I'm glad you know that.
Apparently last year there was some kind of incident involving him and his schlong that I've heard about. But...
Really?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you don't know.
The funny thing about that Thomas Jane story is afterwards, Pat said, I've been to Chicago, I've been to Philly. Was it Philly?
Yeah.
Chicago? He says, I've been to Chicago, I've been to Philly, I've been to Seattle. And I think he said he'd been to New York also. Mm-hmm. And he said he had seen Thomas Jane in every single one of those places, and every single time he saw Thomas Jane, he was the exact same way.
Which way was that?
Drunk.
Blasted off his ass.
Drunk off his ass, just being a total dickhead to people. Which is exactly why it is he had his own booth all by his lonesome.
No, not by himself. Come on, you need to calm down.
Setting it up by himself. Don't get me wrong, the director's cut of The Punisher was awesome.
No, you know, as much as I like Thomas Jane, I'm not even going to say that. He's also been hung and in Arrested Development, though.
He was in Arrested Development, and if these guys want to watch Hung, well, then that's their own. Just promise me, Chris, when your baby's born, if it's a kid,
It's gonna come out as a fully born baby.
God, I hope it's a kid.
If it's a boy, please don't sit him down with you and watch Hung.
What's happening?
Oh, I love you, Jeff.
It's like a train wreck. Oh, man. That was madness.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So, for all of our listeners, what are your convention tips for people when they go to this con?
Take a shower.
Yes, please.
And for the love of God, like I was saying earlier, wear deodorant, please.
If you can afford $100 or even a $300 Comic-Con ticket, you can afford a $3 stick of deodorant.
That might be why they can't, however.
No.
Let's just start selling deodorant at the booth.
Yeah, just give it away.
Right? Make it.
We'll spray people as we walk.
Just, you know, when one of them walks by, just check it in the back of their head.
Yeah.
It's a message and get a clue.
Yeah. One tip that I do have, check out the convention schedule ahead of time. That way you can plan ahead of which panels and what you want
and,
to check out.
And any of the panels that you decide to check out, you need to show up early. Don't expect to show up to those things.
Especially if you're going to Hall H, be there at least an hour early.
Sooner than that. Well, luckily it's Twilight coming around.
Twilight this year.
Good, because that thing messes up everything else coming behind it.
Yeah, in the past few years, that's where the most concentration of smelly people have been.
You're going to defend Twilight now? I don't care for it.
Twilight,
but most of the people who line up for that are girls, dude.
You're defending Thomas Jane. I feel like we're seeing a pattern here.
Hey, you know what?
Hey.
These people who were going there for the Twilight stuff, they're going to check out. Some of those people will be checking out comics for the first time. There'll be new people checking out comics.
Twilight wasn't a comic. It was a novel.
But they'll get exposed. The thing is, they get exposed to this other stuff.
That's true.
You're opening up to a new audience.
That constitutes not taking a shower and not maintaining yourself how?
What? I don't know. You're not making any sense. Most of those people are teenage girls. Or maybe even...
You're going to be having a teenage girl even, pretty soon.
which is even worse.
Does your daughter like Twilight?
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
Are you saying
you don't want your daughter to be exposed to all the wealth of comics out there?
Comic, yes. Twilight, no.
Well, she's already into it.
Look, Twilight isn't a comic. It's not even a graphic
novel.
There is a graphic novel out, actually.
Of course you would know.
Oh, that's true.
But that really doesn't count because it's after the fact.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's still out there.
Necroscope is a comic, and it was a novel to begin with.
Okay.
That's not the point.
Whatever.
You're trying to introduce comics.
I know I should have brought up Twilight. This is just derailed the entire
thing. This is your fault.
God damn you, Jacko.
Look, I admit that I went and I saw the first Twilight just to be a good
guy. Okay.
After I saw the first one, I looked at her eyes. I looked at her in the eyes, and I said, sweetheart, Daddy isn't taking you to go see any more of these. Do you want to drag your mom to go see it? Fine.
Here's my final word on it. I don't care for Twilight at all. I don't care for movies or anything. But the thing is, these people, they're just geeks like we are. They're into other stuff.
I love the tone of voice that you use.
They're into another... I mean, we're into comics. They're into that. But they're all going here. And, you know, maybe by coming here, they'll get into the stuff that we're into.
Don't be an elitist, Judge.
Don't be an elitist.
I'm not
those guys carrying those signs last year...
In order to be an elitist, you have to have money, and I haven't.
This isn't about that. I'm just saying.
I don't have that.
I'm just trying to say.
It's an elitist.
I wouldn't
frame
judge
of mind.
It's just like how you're, like, retarded for Danzig and stuff. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
Where did this come from?
What's true come from?
We got on the subject with him.
Well, I'm saying the same thing. When Danzig is there, you go all ancient. Like, where is this guy? I gotta be on this guy's cock.
I don't mean.
But, you know, it's the same thing. Like, Twilight's there, these teeny boppers are gonna be all over it.
I wanted to get on a guy's cock.
You're the one who watches Hung all the time.
Calm down. What I'm basically trying to say is, with all this Hollywood stuff and this Twilight stuff or whatever, you're introducing comics to this other audience that isn't into it at all.
Right.
And maybe you can increase readership. That's part of what makes this con great. You know, you get other people. I see people who go there every year who, like, you know, don't look like the type of girls or guys who would, you know, buy comics, and yet there they are digging through trade paperback bins.
Well, same with people who go there for the games, exclusive.
Exactly.
Like, look at Jericho, for example. He's our favorite student right now. He's reading all kinds of books.
Him and our absent friend Jose, who I wanted
Rico,
to bring here. Yeah,
Judge has already been introduced a couple of years back, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it exposes unknowns. Yeah.
Or not unknowns, but, you know.
It exposes people who have never read comics into checking stuff
out. Well, to be fair, I actually was a comic fan from back in the day, but then I just kind of got, lost my way.
It brought you back.
Yeah.
You got back.
It definitely rekindled my appreciation.
Yeah, that's what the con is for. I mean, I go to a few cons every year, and it's all that I'm always at my best as far as producing work and as far as reading work. I'm always at my happiest after I go to a con, because it kind of fills you up. You see all these people who are into this stuff, you know, and you meet all the
exhausted
creators.
Exhausted but happy.
And you're exhausted but you're very happy. It's a very good spiritual experience.
Especially when you look at your fucking stash. It's so
like,
good.
Yeah, you have the stash of books at the end of the trip, and like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the second year when I actually had enough money. And then I got depressed because I actually had to lug the shit home on the trolley.
Well, you don't have to deal with that anymore.
No, not anymore.
Well, anyway, getting back to the point, back to the tips. Another one I do is if you are planning on buying a lot of stuff, bring a lot of cash, because this is a big con, and you can blow your load early, depending on the...
Avoid trying to use your credit card, because you never know what information...
Some booths don't take it, right?
Some of them do, but the thing is, even if they do take it, you might want to be careful, because you never know. Right. Information is never always safe.
And no matter what you buy, the price is always negotiable if you pay cash.
The other thing related to the cash is, if you are going to bring it, make sure that you stop on the ATM before you come to the
convention center ATM line. You are fucked if you do that.
Put it in your front pocket. Don't stand in line at the ATM, because it's like $5 a piece, and there's no sense in pulling out 20 or even 40 bucks per five.
Now, wait a second, 40 minutes or so just to
get that ATM line is ridiculous at times. Yeah. Also, with the longer line waiting thing, bring caffeine with you. The Starbucks that's around that area is...
They always charge double.
That, and it's the line for that thing is freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, basically, there's lines everywhere, so prepare yourself for that. Have the patience.
Yeah, be an exhibitor. It's still like...
Yeah, you basically just have to be really patient with everything around you, and you understand that the world doesn't revolve around you when you're in this place. Just, you know, everything you do, just remember there are other people there waiting for you. Like, if you're lining up to get an autograph from Brian Michael Bendis, for example, and you bring all 117 issues of Ultimate Spider-Man, you should go fuck yourself. Because Brian is a nice guy, and he'll sign all of them, but you have like 50 other people in line who want to get stuff.
Yeah. Please be considerate.
Be considerate.
And don't pull that Chick-fil-A shit either. He only does that for three people. And
he actually had an offer on Twitter. He said, like, for every anyone who brings him a Chick-fil-A, like, for he will sign anything for a Chick-fil-A.
That guy's going to get so huge, so big.
He's been doing it for a while.
Stack of Chick-fil-A stuff sitting next to him.
And and any other tips, guys?
I had one, but I just
hydrate.
Hydrate.
Yeah, make sure.
Be nice to the people in costumes.
Yeah. Wear a decent. Yeah. Wear a decent pair of shoes.
Yeah, good shoes definitely. Are always good. Yeah.
Don't make the mistake of thinking that you're going to be safe in there with sandals.
No,
that's a very bad idea. Even though it might be hot.
I did that one year. It sucked.
There's always going to be some asshole in heels that's going to step on your feet.
Anyone walking around in that?
I remember what I was going to say now. If you're a first-time con goer, especially to San Diego, prepare yourself. It is going to be overwhelming, especially if you are going like more than 2 days. So just kind of take your time and, you know, map out what you want to do, because it is overwhelming, especially with the big crowds and all the panels and such.
Yeah, and
plan accordingly.
Yeah, speaking of that, though, I mean, just to kind of go on a tangent here about planning accordingly, you notice that the schedule for Thursday, they've really packed it up so that they will get more and more people off the show floor, which is kind of clever at certain times. I mean, they got movie panels and TV panels competing for your time at certain hours of the day. And they got programming off-site, which is even better. Like, I think they moved the anime rooms to the Marriott. Mm-hmm. And then they have, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a new thing. And then they have, like, the new Hilton Bayfront is where, like, a couple of the TV panels are. Mm-hmm. Like Glee, for example, and a couple others are taking place out there. Smallville.
Which is still going.
Which is somehow still going.
Well, this is the last season, yeah.
Hey, speaking of panels, did they say anything about a Green Lantern panel?
There is going to be a Green Lantern movie panel.
For live action.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, with Ryan Reynolds. Oh, man, Ryan Reynolds. I have stories about him. When I worked at the hotel, anyway.
We'll save it for another time, I guess.
All right, and we are going to wrap this up. Everyone, your final parting words for people going to the con. Judge?
I've said enough. Don't watch Han. Don't buy the DVD.
I don't get the hate.
Oh, man. Okay, Jericho.
Yeah, like I said, take heed to the words of warning that we've given you about being prepared. That is really important, especially if you're going to be, you know, if it's your first time. Don't get discouraged at the same time, you know, because, again, you there's not going to be time to do everything that you want to do. There's going to be a lot of conflicting things.
Yes.
So, you know, don't get too down on it.
You can't win them all. Just enjoy what you can.
Yeah, that's what all I was going to say. Enjoy yourself, you know. Just take it all in. Have fun. Buy a lot of shit. And visit the Dial R Studios booth.
Yes, we're in booth 1804 and 1806.
Shameless supplement.
Hey. Yeah, my final word to you is you need to go to the Kickstarter comic panel. Saturday at 6:30 p.m. I'll be there with my collaborator Steve Earnhardt, as well as Cody Chamberlain and Steve Bryant, all wonderful creators. And of course, you can stop by our booth, booths 1804 and 1806. I will be there. Chris will be there. Jericho and Judge will be there, popping up here and there. They're part of the supporting cast.
Yeah. So if you see Judge, look for the tall white guy with the blonde hair. I just talked to him about home. He'll love it.
Over at that booth, you'll be able to purchase such items as the Blacklisted graphic novel, the Villain graphic novel debuting in San Diego, and you might even be able to strike up a free conversation from me.
Lucky you.
Yeah, exactly, right? But seriously, when you go to con, like everyone said, just have fun, because that's what it's there for. Enjoy yourself. So it's okay, really, to just let your geek flag fly and get into this thing. Because
everyone is a geek.
You have to imagine this. Everyone is watching this event going on. People will think this is like the coolest shit going on at this time of year, and you get to be there. Just think of it that way.
Yeah.
You're one of the cool kids when you're in here.
Hell yes.
Exactly.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, for more of me, you can catch me over at patloika.com, twitter.com/patloika, or facebook.com/patloika. And I will actually be putting up photos and microblogging from there. You'll see some photos from setup of the con and onwards, really. So you should be able to kind of have an eye inside the convention. We'll be covering it really well.
Yeah, we'll have a nice wrap-up video at the very end, too. So keep an eye on for
that. Are you going to twat while you're there?
Twat. Don't hate.
Twat Twitter or something.
Don't be a hater, Judge. Why must it be hate with you?
Haters going to hate.
Are you going to walk home today? I got him. But seriously, guys, again, thanks for taking the time to record. And
fun as always, Pat.
Yeah, it was fun. Good talking to you guys. And we'll probably do a wrap-up show after the con, and we'll talk about what happened, what went wrong, which probably is not going to happen.
Well, and what lessons we can learn for next year.
Exactly.
Which you shouldn't have to learn any, having gone as long as you have. Come on.
Yeah, well, there's always something new.
We're all experts at this at this point.
Nathan doesn't go anymore because they don't have any more porn booths.
So. No, or he couldn't steal
stuff. David Yates, right? He's there every year.
David Yates?
Yeah. He's
there
every year.
Director? Really?
No, not David Yates. What the hell is his name? Damn, now I just embarrassed myself. Go on. What a loser.
And seriously, and that's it for us this week. I will catch you in probably 2 weeks because we're probably going to recover after the con before we do our next show. So, again, thanks for listening, and take it easy.
Good night.
Good night.